Please be seated. You ever have those best ever experiences where you just, when you're about ready for it to be over, you're just sad that it's over, and then you can't wait to experience that again? You ever have those moments? I know I get those moments a lot of times around food, around good food. Eating sushi, you get down to that last bite of that last roll, and the sadness just comes over like it's almost over. And I take that last bite, and I wish I could just rewind and do it again. And my stomach could be empty again, and I could just have it over and over. And every time I eat my last bit of sushi, I just can't wait to eat it again. You know, they sell those little seaweed sheets in like a snack pack, and that's kind of, we've discovered those, and that's kind of held me over till my next time I get to have a sushi. Well, a little bit cheaper than the sushi. There's also this place in Oklahoma City that Leah and I discovered while we were in Oklahoma. It was called Big Truck Taco, and it was a food truck business that also had a restaurant, a stable place. And we discovered this place. It's one of these places, it looks kind of rough. It's kind of in a rough area. Nothing really fancy about it, but they have the best food ever. And the best part about it that I really love sauce. You know, if you ask, you go to a place and they say, what kind of sauce do you want on that? Or what kind of sauce do you want with those? And I ask them what kind they have, and they list off four or five different kinds, and I say, all. Every one. Well, this place has on the table at least five different salsas or different hot sauces, and then one special one in these bottles, and I get the veggie burrito. Now, I'm not a vegetarian, but I love vegetarian stuff. I like meat. You know, I could be a vegetarian except for I love meat, you know, but I also really love vegetables. And they had a really excellent veggie burrito. And the burrito itself was good, but also the six different sauces that were at the table, and you could just each bite just a different sauce. Different, some hotter, some sweeter, some greener, some redder. And I would get down to my final, and I'd get down to my final three favorite sauces. And I would exchange and thinking, which bite do I want to eat on? And I get to my last little bit, and I want to end with a little sweetness, and I end, and it was so sad when it was over. And I just can't wait to do it again. There was actually one time that one of our friends was in the city, and that's Oklahoma only has one city, Oklahoma City. It's called The City. It took us a while to figure that out the first time. People said, we're going to the city. We're like, which one? Oklahoma City. So when he went to the city, he was nice enough, knew we liked Big Truck Taco, but he thought that our whole family liked veggie burritos. So he brought four of them. Well, good thing for me. I had four. I got to have that over and over for several meals that week. But when I got done with that, every time I get done with that, I can't wait to have it again. I've had that same experience with, there's a board game. The only board game, the best board game, Settlers of Catan. If you haven't played that game, it's the best game ever. As soon as I get done playing, whether I win or not, I can't wait. I'm sad it's over. Someone says, I win. A lot of times it's me. I say, I win. And I just can't wait to experience that again. You see, I like to do things that I'm good at, that I like, and that usually I can win at. And so, you know, that leads to me wanting to play again. And I just can't wait to play it again. And then the last experience that I have, and I haven't been in routine as much as I'd like to, but running also, I get on a runner's high, you know, and when I've gotten in a groove where I'm running consistently throughout the week and I'm building up my miles and I'm running, you know, 6 or 7 miles at a time, and when I'm really into it, now some of you think you're absolutely nuts, okay? But some of you that are runners, you kind of get this, right? Shake your head, some of you runners out there. There's only a couple of you. There's only one or two. Kind of like, But when we get to that groove where I finish, getting ready to finish, my house is coming up, I'm on my last block, and I've just had, when I've had a good run, you know, and I know it's almost over, and I know I'm hooked when I just, I'm sad it's over, and I'm already thinking about when I could do it again. Well, you have experiences like that, meals like that, time spent, activities like that, when you know it's coming to an end, you just can't wait to experience again. Well, we had a great time last week celebrating communion, and we had a great time today celebrating communion. Do you look forward to this time coming together like you do eating sushi or going on a run or playing a game or being in a certain situation where you know it's coming to an end. You know that tray is coming. You know that bite. You know the service is ending. And you just can't wait till you can gather together to share this meal, to be with these people, to share this fellowship, to share this communion, to share our lives together, to be cared for like we're cared for, to be blessed, to have opportunity to give like we have opportunity to give. Just can't wait to be together. I hope that that is building within you. I hope that that is building. And if you're not feeling that, then you're missing something. And I don't know if it's something that is on you or is on us. Maybe both and. But we should long and be excited and be sad when this time is over to be together, to commune. Yes, it's more than just sharing the bread and the wine. It is about that. But those few bites and those few drinks are just small, but it's more than that. We know it's more than that. And to commune together. You know, we talked about last week about, this isn't a mistake, this is meant to be here. We talked about the discipline of communion. And as we've been studying in Luke 24, and as these guys are on the road to Emmaus, and their eyes were open when the Lord took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. It was at that moment that they remembered. Perhaps they remembered the Passover. Perhaps they remembered what happened as they were celebrating Passover when the Lord took that bread and He gave thanks to God and He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And He put the Passover celebration on His life, the idea of liberation into His body that we can participate in. And how He drew them together, and how these guys on the road to Emmaus, their eyes were open. And I hope that your hearts were burning. I hope that your hearts are burning now. I hope that your hearts were burning after the meal we just shared a few moments ago. As you have been brought before the Lord, I hope that your eyes, if they haven't been opened, that they're open now. To know the Lord is meeting us here. The Lord is with us. And you can see it as we look side by side. Look around. Look around. Hard to see the Lord because He's not physically in our midst, but He is here. I can see Him in all of you. And that should warm your hearts. And when you get that burning in your hearts, I don't know what it reveals to you. I don't know if it reveals joy or maybe it reveals some anxieties or some fears or some sadness of, wow, I haven't been recognizing. I haven't been walking in step with the Lord. You know, or I'm excited about what the Lord is burning with inside of me. You know, sharing our fears and our doubts and our anxieties. You know, our transparency will go a long way in this world where self-righteous Christianity is being rejected. Our transparency of sharing that burning, sharing those doubts, sharing those fears, sharing those anxieties, saying we are flawed. We've been invited to this table. We're unworthy to be here. And that's who we are. And to say, we are not all that, but He is. He is the host. He is the meal. And we've been invited here to be transparent in that, to share why our hearts are burning. And that burning includes joy, and it also includes some disappointments. You know, it's time that we put hypocrisy to rest. Time we put hypocrisy to rest by sharing our weaknesses, by sharing our heartburn, one with another. Why were the hearts burning? Why were those apostles heartburning? Because they had a sense of hopelessness. They had a sense of loss. And now hope is restored. And they were restored. You know, last week after that sermon, last week I talked about your hearts burning. Hope that burning burns a fire in you. Matt McGill texted me and said, well, all that heartburn made me want to go up there and give you some Tums. You know, cool that off a little bit. Well, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I will delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I hope this week as you broke bread and last week as you broke bread, I hope that you continue to break bread daily in your homes. I hope that we continue to daily commune with the Lord. Every time we eat, whoever we gather with, family, friends, that as we're breaking bread, we're remembering the Lord and we're sharing in that bread, sharing that hope and sharing that good news with all those that we commune daily. You know, this week, think about this last week, who you ate with, who you gathered around tables with, and what did you share there? Hopefully, I encourage you as you go on and eat this today and as you eat this week, whenever you commune, whenever you break bread with people, to share love, to share hope, to share good news. You know, it's time for the gospel message of the church to become missional with feet on it by being relational, by sharing meals, starting in our homes, in our life, and sharing our life and our love of the Lord every time we gather with others. To be a church on mission, and it starts by gathering around tables, communing daily with the Lord and with others, to take hope, to take bread, and to take good news into our communities. Did you share with others how your eyes were open, how your hearts burn? And I hope that I want you to start thinking about who is it that needs to hear what you're feeling right now, what you've experienced around the Lord's table, and what you're being reminded of as I speak right now. Who needs to hear? Who do you need to gather around tables with today, this week, to share hope, restored hope, and to share purpose, and to share commitment? How the Lord is transforming your heart and your mind and your life right now. This last weekend, Sean and I got to go up to the men's retreat at Camp Yamhill. It was a great experience. Beautiful day yesterday. A lot of trails and a lot. It's a great place. The river and the experience, and then the fellowship with the brothers there, and the singing, and the message. Everything was so great. I got to go hiking through the trails. They have a challenge course, and they have hiking trails, and they have so many different experiences you can be a part of. Well, during one of the break times, I just was venturing around. Hadn't been in those. Hiked on those trails for 9 years. I've been away for 9 years. And one part of the camp, they have a section called a Road to Calvary. And it's kind of this discipleship walk in these different stations that have these practices to remember the road to Calvary. And they also have this road marked with the Road to Emmaus. I thought, so pretty cool. You know, I'd forgotten about it. It's been 9 years since I've been at that camp. And that's exactly what this message, this series has been about the road to Emmaus. You know, the disciples, they did exactly what I was saying about when their eyes were open and they were eating with Jesus and their eyes were open. They did exactly what I'm encouraging us to do. As soon as their eyes were open, they got up and left immediately and went to those apostles who had no hope, who were in doubt and fear, and broke the good news to them. And you know what those apostles did? They went out and told other people that they knew about that needed that hope, that needed that bread, and they shared the gospel. And you know what they did? They kept meeting with other people they knew to share the gospel. You know how we know the gospel? Because people did that. Kept sharing the hope, and they didn't wait around. They didn't hesitate. They were urgent, because what is at stake? Everything. Life. Love. Hope. Good news. They believed, they obeyed, and they became disciples. Let's read in Luke 24. It was already read before us, but let's center in on the passage for today. Luke 24, 30 through 35. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were our hearts not burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Then they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared also to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. As I was walking along those trails, I just happened to stop. I was on the backside of this trail. I came up behind where this Road to Emmaus sign was, and I saw one of those stations. And like I said, it's been 9 years. I couldn't remember what was going on there. And the first, out of the blue, first station that came up was this one. They rose at that very hour and returned, the very passage that we are on today. They rose at that very hour and returned. At once they got up. At once they got up. They didn't hesitate. They were urgent to tell. To tell what? To tell the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. To tell that it is true. The Lord is risen. To tell those who were hopeless to have hope. And this was at the end of a long day. They had just walked 7 slow, sorrowful miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And it was evening. And they said, Lord, stay with us. It's almost evening and we're tired. And he did. And they broke bread. And immediately they get up in the middle of the night. I don't know what time it was, but it was evening. And I can't imagine them walking at this point, sprinting 7 miles back after a long day of sorrow of the Lord dying, being buried, them lost hope, stumbling around the road, sitting down to a meal, finally, and then their eyes were open. And at once they returned and they found the 11, those who they knew needed to hear this message. Those who like them were at a loss. Those who like them who were hopeless. Those who had saw Jesus die when put in the tomb. Those who thought, like they had thought on the road, that we thought that he was the one. We heard his words. We saw his amazing acts of God. But he's died. Those who were God-fearing. Those who were praying. Those who were seeking. Those who had given their lives were not at a loss. Those who had doubts. And those who had failures. There was amongst them that had denied the Lord. Peter, the one who denied the Lord. Imagine what he's feeling. He gave his life and he denied it. Now the Lord is gone. What hope does he have? And so these two, Cleopas and his companion, at once they get up. They find the ones that they know, they're already in community with. This isn't totally new people. This is people they already were living life with. Those that they've already formed a pact with, a relationship with. Those that they already knew their ups and downs. They knew they weren't perfect. They knew they had talked about different things. Experienced life together, ate meals together, worked together, lived together. They went straight back to those that they knew were in need of hearing this message, and they say, it is true. The Lord has risen. And they told him everything that happened, how he recognized him when he broke the bread. Who are those in your life that have no hope? Who are those living outside of the truth of the risen Lord? How do you respond to those who come to you with hopelessness? I know as believers, when people know that we are followers of the Lord, even those that are living for God or not living for God, when they come to hopelessness, do they not come after you and say, pray for me? Or, hey, this is going on in my life. What do I do? You are a person of hope. How do you respond when hopelessness and doubts and fears and anxieties come your way? Do you share the truth of the risen Lord that there is hope? There are so many that are in families and communities and around that are desperate for hope, sitting and waiting, maybe sitting and praying for something to change, for something to be revealed to them. How am I going to get out of this, God? What about my kids? What about my spouse? What about this and that? What about my life? What about my health? Church, we are the hope. You have hope. With Christ living in you, we have the hope, the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. We have the assurance of the resurrection, the victory over death. So what cannot the Lord overcome? What can the Lord not bring people in your life, in my life, out of? Out of any despair, any failures, any complications. Church, this is such a blessing to be a part of this body where we are blessed by the resources of the Lord. The resources of the Lord are unlimited and the resources of the body here. Look at all the blessings that are represented here. Look at all the strengths and the talents and the gifts. Well, we are blessed to be a part of. Who would not benefit from being a part of the Lord and a part of this truth? And all this is because there is a risen Lord. We have hope, and we have hope to get up immediately in the middle of the night right now and go. If you need to get up and go right now, you go. I'm serious. I'm serious. If you got to get up and go find someone, start texting someone right now. You say, don't use your phones in church. Go ahead. Go ahead. To get up right now. Church is a community to do life. Is this a place where you can connect? Who wouldn't benefit from the connection? Who wouldn't be the benefit of belonging and having the support and having the purpose that we know of to serve a risen Lord that's forever alive, a Lord that is mighty? to express love of God and love for others here. The disciples with the church in Emmaus, they got up. They got up at once and returned to those who needed this truth and this hope. We all have pockets of people. We all leave this place. You guys all do. We all go through life different places throughout the week. Sometimes we overlap and we interact, and we may be in some communities outside of this place that involves those here. But many of us have families, have jobs, have people we have hobbies with, people we do life with. Those are the ones to take hope to take bread to take good news to. You know, I've thought about people I know that have needs. And I've seen people, you know, what do I do about this person on this corner? What do I do about that person I know about? You know, I think, well, I could bring them money. They say they want food. I could bring them food. I thought about, what if I was to take some communion bread and go share communion with this person, to share that meal? They think, well, I want a taco. No, you want the Lord. No, I want some money. No, let me share the Lord here. What would that look like? We already have communities that you're already in relation with that have shared ups and downs. And it's not someone totally new that, well, this person doesn't know me. How am I going to get in there? How am I going to start this? You have those already. The Lord is calling you to go and to tell family who have lost hope. You already have the connection with them. They know you love them. They know you're the real deal. They know you're faulty. You're failed, too. They know you've messed up. And so you come in there at the same place they are. Say, but the Lord. But the Lord is risen. There is hope. There is good news. You, those who have believed in the Lord at one time, have lost hope, have lost their way. I know that there are those who love the Lord that you know of that are seeking, that are praying, God, maybe some of your family that are praying, God, change something, bless me with this. But they aren't quite obedient. You know, there are those I know you are praying for God to impact and to bless them. But I'm saying is perhaps the Lord calling you together. As they are praying for God to do something and you are praying for God to do something, perhaps that something and that someone is you to bring that good, to get up like those apostles did and rush to where you know they are and to tell them this good news. You know, you're in a natural position. You know, we're all in natural relationships to bring good news. Those you already know, those who maybe you know some people that are God-fearing, that are seeking, those who are praying and those that you're concerned for. So what are you waiting for? You know, the two disciples that were with Jesus in Emmaus, they returned at once to Jerusalem. The 11 went and told others, and those continued to go and tell and to tell and believe and obey and be saved. Isn't that beautiful how that works? Imagine if that was to take root in your home, with the families you know, in your communities, for the gospel to grow and grow. And it will, and it does. Here's a quote I found. If we are the people we should be, those who want to discover Christ will come to us. This is more than just living a good life. It's living an obedient life that demonstrates the love of God and shares God's word in such a way that the lost become saved, the saved become obedient, and the obedient make more disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ. Examples of this all over the Scriptures, all over in Acts. And here's one example I want to share with you. It's Acts chapter 10, of one who was seeking and one who was obedient to share, how God brought them together. Story in Acts chapter 10 of Cornelius. This is an amazing story. Cornelius was a devout, God-fearing Gentile who was generous. Check that. He was a person who wasn't a Jew. He wasn't in the Lord's people. But he had heard about God's people, heard about God. And so he was the devout seeker of God. He was God-fearing. He was one who prayed regularly. And he was generous with his time and his energy. He was giving. But yet he did not know about the Lord. But yet he was seeking. He had doubts, he had fears, he had anxieties, but he was a God-fearing, devout, seeking Gentile. One day he had a vision of the Lord who said, a vision of the Lord came to him and said, send men for a man named Simon Peter. So as he's seeking, he gets a vision of seek this man, Peter. He didn't know who Peter was. At the same time, Peter, different location, Peter on a different day was traveling and he fell into a trance. And a voice from heaven commanded him, this is a kind of weird trance, commanded him to eat food that was unclean, to eat food from a four-footed animals, from reptiles and birds. And, you know, Jewish customs, you shouldn't eat unclean animals. And so this was kind of a disturbing kind of vision. And the voice said, eat of these animals in his dream. And he said, no, Lord, don't. But the voice said to him, don't call anything impure that God has made clean. And this happened three times. Eat this. No. Eat this. No. Eat this. Okay. Then Peter gets up. And he begins to make, well, he's found out. Cornelius' men show up. Cornelius had this vision, go find this man Peter. He sends some guys to go find this man Peter that the vision has told him about. And Cornelius' men show up at Peter. Again, Cornelius don't know Peter. Peter don't know Cornelius. These things are happening independently. Here's one seeking. Here's one obeying, willing to obey. We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. So what does he do? He gets up immediately. I want to obey God. I want to hear. I'm seeking. He goes to him. Let's pick up the story in Acts chapter 10, verse 23. Then Peter invited the men into his house to be his guest. The next day, Peter started out with them. Some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and they called together his relatives and close friends. So now he's calling in. Look at all the people he knows, all his family, all his friends. Say, I'm ready to hear this, and you need to hear it too. And I'm going to hear it, and you're going to hear it, and what's going to happen? As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him stand up and said, stand up. I'm only a man myself. So he's like, hey, it's okay. I'm a man too. I have my faults. I'm not the message. I'm just the messenger. The message is wait on. Here, you're going to hear it. Get up. I'm only a man myself. Verse 27. Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against the law for a Jew and Gentile to associate or to visit with them. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I went without raising any objection. May I ask why you have sent for me? So here he is, conflict, Jews and Gentiles, certain men. It seems kind of weird that, you know, Jews would be going into a Gentile's house. You know, today it may seem weird for us. Christians don't go to bad places where bad people are. Who has God called impure? No one. Go. Well, I can't go in their house. They're living ungodly. I can't hang out with them. No. To tell them the message, you need to go in. So he goes in. And he asks, why'd you send me? Cornelius answered, verse 30. Four days ago. This was the prayer. 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at the 3:00 PM. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer. Remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest at the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell. See how the Spirit's working this out? Your heart's not burning right now? It should be. Think about those that you know are sitting in their homes right now praying for something to change in their life. And you're seeking, you're praying about them right now. Think about if you were to get up and go and get together with them right now and to share the message that they need to hear, that they're ready for you to hear. Then Peter began to speak. Now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. You know that what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And they killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked Peter to stay with them for a few more days. One seeker, Cornelius. One man, Peter, willing to obey. Cornelius, he and all who were with him, his household, his relatives, everyone he knew. Did Peter even know Cornelius? No. Did people know all the people that they knew? No. But God, through the power of prayer and spirit, brought them together. And look at the community that came out of that. Are your hearts not burning? Who are those that you know are sitting in homes right now that you wish were communing with you right now here? May we be obedient to the gospel. There are those who are praying, those who are seeking, those who are asking for hope, for help, for answers. Is the Spirit urging you to share the good news? God, I believe, is calling you to be that person of peace. To bring that person of peace to go and to share that good news to your families, to your communities, to your coworkers, to those you have hobbies with. And maybe start by saying, how are you doing? What's bothering you? What are you anxious about? What are your needs? How could I be a help to that? How could the Lord be a help to that? How could the body of Christ be a help to that? And to begin that conversation by starting by having meals around tables. Who do you need to take a dinner to right now after church here today? Who do you need to take bread to? Take the love and the hope and the good news with. There are those that we have natural relationships with. But maybe there's some that are in need of an intervention. And maybe that aren't so natural. Maybe you're being intervened right now. Maybe the Spirit is poking you right now, kind of T-boning your life, what you thought was going to happen today in your life. For your eyes to be open, for that good news and that bread and that hope to enter into your life, for it to take root, for your hearts to be burning so that then you can be reminded and be urgent to connect and to commune and to tell the good news to others. Some may be seeking and praying right now for God to send someone to them. Some may be just needed to be intervened. You know, those that you interact with, are you ready to share? Are you ready to meet that need? Are you ready to, you know, they don't know it's coming, but you see the need and the door is open and you are there. Kind of like the woman at the well. She was just there getting water. Jesus was just there getting water too. Asked me for a drink. Had nothing to draw with. Told her everything about herself. He had an advantage over what we have. He knew everything about her. Tells her everything. And says, invites her into her. No, you, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for living water. And then she goes home and looks what she does. By him being that person of peace, person who's ready, person who's obedient to share that bread, to share the water, to share the love, to share the good news with her, she goes and tells her whole family and her whole community, and they all come out and they all believe. Perhaps it's fixing a meal. Perhaps it's fixing a tire for somebody. Perhaps it's carrying groceries for somebody. Perhaps it's a conversation. At times it will be and always will be an act of God. But are you ready? Are you ready to share? Are you urgent to get up and go? To go tell those you know in community, are you ready to have opportunities for people to intervene and for you to tell them, to give them hope, to give them good news, and to bring them bread? Church, it is true. The Lord is risen. The Lord is present when we break the bread. Don't leave the communion here. Take it with you. Don't leave the bread and wine here. Take it with you to every table you sit at this week. Every table you're about ready to go sit at. Take it to those who know are sitting in their homes right now needing this meal. Needing it with you. Well, who needs to hear this message of hope today? Perhaps it's you that we need to share this bread. I hope you've been offered it enough today to want to take and eat and know the Lord is good. Who is the Lord calling you to go break bread with? For you to text, for you to call. Who is the Lord calling you to share the love of God with? Is it you or is it others? Come and share that. Come and share that so that we can share that with you. So the gospel can take root in your life and all you know. So that all will be fed. All will have that hope. All will have that bread. And all will have that good news that the Lord is risen. If we could bless you and pray for you, deliver that to you in any way, bless you as you've been called to go share that with those you've been thinking of today. Let's do that as we stand and sing.